We're watching you all you young people. We didn't really get saved till we were 33 years old. Boy, we had had a lot of the world. One time, the Holy Ghost told me, he said, why am I having so much trouble? He says, well, your soul was trained by a death nature and a fallen world for 33 years. Before I ever got the Spirit from God, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, until you receive the Spirit which is of God, you really don't even qualify to be taught by God. You have no capacity to know the things of God. And so we didn't even get a start till 33. And thank God the young man that led us to the Lord got us baptized in the Holy Ghost this time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The true teacher of the body of Christ. And I look at you young people and I think, my God, they're already hearing things that the day we walked through the doors of the prayer center, we were 45 years old. Wow. You know, and I'm telling you, still then, at age 45, we got with it. I mean, we got with the message. And see, the thing with us is we never knew how to give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. You know? We go to church and they say, well, you should walk in more love. Well, duh. I knew that before I came to your service. Can somebody tell me how to walk in more love, you know? You say, well, you need to walk in more faith. Well, how do you do that? How do you walk in these things? And so then, thank God for the day that we discovered Pastor Dave Roberson. And we don't, you know, I just thank God for his ministry in the earth. And he began teaching us how to activate the teaching ministry. And it's really more than a teaching ministry. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's also a trainer. Yes, sir. Hang on. Incoming. Just a minute. I just work here.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, I got to tell you. You know the words? I got to tell you. Sue and I were looking at all you young people here. You're saying, thank God for faithfulness, Homer. Thank God for faithful men.
Yes.
Thank God for you. Thank God for Pastor and Candy. And endure the hurricanes come, try to blow the church down, everything in the world comes. And still you endure and look at the fruit. You know, Jesus changed the world with 12 disciples.
Yes.
My God.
Thank you, Father.
How much trouble is the devil in?
Yes.
I'm looking around the room here. How much trouble is the devil in? Hallelujah. We'll open up to John chapter 8 and put a marker in Hebrews 12. Be honest with you, I tremble a little bit to teach after Homer. Homer's a man after my own heart. Loves the Word of God. You know, a lot of people, and still yet, you can be excited about football and love God too, you know. See, my team, the Packers this year. The Packers. I was sitting there with my cheese hat on, you know. And I was sitting there, you know, go Packers, you know. And then at the end it was, yay Packers. And still yet, you come right back in and you love the Word of God. Love God, serve God. Hallelujah. So I'm intimidated a little bit, but I'm still going to teach you anyhow. So John chapter 8. When this is a real famous verse. You hear it all the time, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's my understanding that that verse is in the foyer of the CIA office. But what Jesus was talking about was something completely different. And most religion... is that the right word to use? Most church services, if you sit under them for decades even, you'll find out that Christ died for you, and I thank God for that. Thank God for the root, the foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank God for that. But you can sit there for the next 30 years, and your understanding will still pretty much be, well, I thank God He loves me, and I thank God He died for me, but I'm still pretty much the same person that I was before. And I can't stop sinning. And I can't this and I can't that. And that's a shame. That's a shame that you can sit there like that. And it's real easy to preach that way because that preaching goes pretty much in line with most people's life experience. See? But I'm telling you right now, that is not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what Jesus taught. We're going to get to a verse tonight that says who you really are. You know, what I kept hearing, I started to tell you a while ago, and I digressed. I was watching y'all, you young people worship God, and us older people too. I kept hearing this phrase, these are my children of light. Children of light. It's in Ephesians 5. You are the children of light. The rest of that verse is, so walk ye as children of light. See, He's made us children of light. We're not of the darkness anymore. But now what the church needs to be teaching, how do you walk as a child of light? How do you be a light in a dark world? Glory to God. So in John chapter 8, Jesus was teaching. And then starting in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that passage. And that's normally where the teaching would stop in the denominational church where I grew up. And they would teach accurately the cross, and they'd get you born again. And it does change people. Now, I've seen hard drinking. My grandpa, on my dad's side, he was kind of a legend around Shawnee, Oklahoma, for being a rough character. If you needed to buy moonshine, it was him that you went and saw. He had a reputation as a womanizer. And they still say about my dad, O.R. Carpenter, that's the meanest SOB to come out of Shawnee, Oklahoma. He was tough, you know. And you ought to hear some of the stories that I've heard about him when he was your age. But see, my grandpa and my dad both, they found Jesus in that little Baptist church down there. And what they said about, I'm just talking about my grandpa first. Here he was a womanizer and a distributor of liquor and gambler and everything. Bowed his knee one day. Bowed his knee at the altar call. That little Baptist church. Boy, and all that stopped. He became a pillar in the community. Good family man, good provider. And I've seen it over and over and over again since. And they do change. See, and that's really what Jesus is talking about here. What He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But what's sad, yeah, it'll go that far with you. And I've seen that kind of change. I saw that kind of change in us. See, the new nature is a moral code. It's more than that. It's a moral. It's green light, red light. This is okay, that's not okay. You don't know. See, I try and describe it like this. If you go to a church service and the message that day is, you shouldn't steal, if that's news to you, we shouldn't steal, who knew? If that's the way, at the altar call, come down, you're not saved. See, because part and parcel with the new nature, He writes His law on your heart. Nobody has to come teach you. He writes His law on your heart. And you know it's wrong to steal. You've been lying all these years. You get saved at one of those Holy Ghost meetings with, you know, Pastor Bront, and you get saved and you're going to tell a lie again just like you have been, and something goes, nope. And you go, where'd that come from? Well, that's the new nature, see. And it's a safe guide when it comes to walking. That's a big part of your walking as a child of light. But see, the new nature is not statistical. What I mean by that, it's the new nature is not going to say, go to a street called Straight, inquire of one Simon the Tanner. It's not. We had a person. You know, the Holy Ghost can give you a phone number of somebody living in another country. You know how we know that? We've seen Him do it before. Seen Him do that kind of thing before. He's a person. He's more than a nature. Now you got your nature changed at the new birth. And you know that power. Now let's just talk about the new nature for a minute. What Jesus is talking about right here, He's not talking so much about the baptism in the Holy Ghost on this passage. He is talking about the power of the new nature. If you continue in My word. Now He knows that it's not going to be available to them until after the resurrection, but He's preaching the things of the kingdom even before it's available. Well, I started to tell you, in the denomination where I grew up, the way they would interpret this, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, it'll make you free from condemnation. It'll make you free from guilt. It'll make you free from hell. But the very next Sunday they teach you, but you can't stop sinning because you're still just you're the same person that you were. You're still an old sinner, just saved by grace. That is not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And I love that definition, that word, the best definition I ever heard of it. You have a new species. I like that better than race. See, we have many races represented in here. We're all of one species. Now, but you were one species before you got born again. You were of the species of Adam. You know, Eve is called the mother of all living. So it doesn't matter in this room, brown, black, chalky white, polka dotted, striped. I don't care what you are. Eve is the mother of all living, see? We all had that death nature passed down to us, and that's why we couldn't stop sinning. That's why God gave Israel the law. He says, here's my law, keep it. Yeah, right. You know? The guy, poor guy in Romans 7. That's the guy in Romans 7. He's been given the law, and he's not disagreeing with it. He says, with my mind, I agree, God. Your law is good. I want to keep it. So I set my mind. Haven't any of you ever do that? I set my mind. I'm not going to tell another lie. And he says, but it's not very long, and the thing I wasn't ever going to do again. Better kill another sheep. I violated it again. And all that good stuff. I was going to go pray. I was going to give big to Pastor Bronx ministry. I was going to do all those things, all these good things I was going to do. I never got around to doing them. And that's the dilemma of the unborn again man. I don't care how much you love God and how much you want to serve God. You have a nature in you passed down from the first man, Adam, before you get saved. It's called the spirit of the world. Your humans are flawed at the core. That's the species you were of, because you were of the first man, Adam. He had no other way to pass life to you. Life came packaged in death. That's a good way to say it. It came. You're the first man, Adam, gave you. Yeah, you got life, all right, but it was life packaged in death, and you had no choice. The spirit in you, no matter how hard your mind did not want to commit that sin, that spirit in you demanded it, and eventually you would. Every person here could give testimony about that's true. Now Jesus is talking about that very thing here when he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He doesn't leave it to chance what he's talking about here. He just keep going. Verse 33. Well, they answered him, we be of Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? See, they're thinking in the natural. But anyway, he doesn't get off the subject. He just continues right on with what he was teaching here. Jesus answered them, now notice what he's talking about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now that word servant is real nice in the King James. It's doulos. And it means slave. He's talking about the unregenerate person. That whoever commits it, it's because they're a slave of it. And the servant, the slave, he abides not in the house forever. But the Son abides forever. But now notice verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, in context, what is he talking about? Free from what? Nobody's saying nothing. Free from sin. That's what the new nature is, young people. The world wants... I look at these young faces. I look at you good-looking. Sue and I didn't always look like this. You wouldn't believe it if you saw my high school graduation picture. I had hair so long. I had comb it back on the sides. In those days, we kind of creased it in the middle down the back. They had a little duck tail at the bottom there. I'd take my shirt off in those days so the women would swoon. I take them off now so they don't faint from fright. I don't take it off now, you know. So my apple has become a pear. But I look at you young people and I'm telling you, the world wants you bad. And it's going to send everything in the world. If it can't stop you serving Jesus by afflictions and persecutions, he's going to switch tactics and he's going to bring Mr. Good-looking. Miss Good-looking. I was in South Africa for a while in 2003. And one of the things that we got to see over there, he said, you want to see how you trap a monkey? I said, yeah, how do you trap a monkey? You know? And so they take a gourd or, you know, some kind of a, you know, anything, a gourd, and they cut a hole in it about, I don't know, inch and a half in diameter, something like that. And they put anything shiny in there. It doesn't matter. You can take a gum wrapper, you know, that shiny foil gum wrapper. Put something shiny in there and put it in a place where it reflects the sunlight. It won't be very long. A monkey, you'll see that shiny thing. I want that shiny thing, that monkey. You just see its little brain working. See, that's the way the devil does you with sin. You know, here's a shiny thing. You need this, you know.
That little monkey, he'll look at that thing and he'll go, yeah, I need that, I need that. And the way they make that hole just big enough, now when his hand's empty, his little hand will go right in there. But as soon as he closes his hand on the shiny thing, he can't pull his hand back out. And here comes four big men, Afrikaners, walking up there to get that monkey. And he sees them coming. All he has to do to be free is let go of the shiny thing, but he will not let go. And Satan thinks all of you, that's all you really want. Just give me the shiny thing. And as long as you hang on to it, he's got you. Jesus come to set you free from the shiny things. He is our shiny thing. He is our light and our... He is our valuable. He is everything to you. He's your shiny thing. Hold on to Him. But see, this is what He's teaching here. He's going, look, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And I'm telling you, you can be free even without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And how I know that? Jesus was 30 years old before He got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now see, He was born not from the Spirit of Adam. He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. He didn't receive that death nature. He's the unique, only begotten Son of God. In that, what we mean by that, His life did not originate from that first man Adam. His life originated directly from God. There was no sin in it. There was no darkness in it. So we're watching, but He was clothed in human flesh, fallen flesh. His flesh came from Mary, which we could trace all the way back to Adam. So here's a man with the life of God on the inside, clothed with fallen flesh on the outside, walking through a cursed, fallen world, and for 30 years without sin. And He did it by the power of what we call the new nature alone. See, that's really you. That life that's in you, that didn't originate. If you're born again, that life did not originate from the first man Adam. He quickened that old dead spirit in you, that Adamic spirit. He quickened that thing from death to life. That's why we looked this morning at the verse that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. That life that's on the inside of you, you know Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. You know why? He's your Adam. He is the Adam of your spirit. You have that life. See, right now we ought to lock the doors, pull down the shades on all the windows. Because these meetings like this, they're for aliens only. You are. You're not even of this world. Jesus said you're not of this world. The life that's in you did not originate on this planet. It originated directly from God. That life on the inside of you also was conceived by the Holy Ghost. So you're walking with the life of God on the inside of you, clothed in fallen flesh, through a dark, fallen world, with the power to walk above sin, just like Jesus. That's why it says in Hebrews 12, now see, I already got thrown out of the church I grew up in five times at this point in my message. But that's why Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 11 used to be my favorite chapter without doubt. It was, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Looking, and he starts talking about the hall of faith, going back to Noah and then Abraham and Moses and David and Samson and Sarah, and got women in there too. And go back and read about all those stories, and they're all great and we can all learn from them. And for years that was my favorite chapter, until one day near the end of that chapter, he said, these all died in faith, having not received the promise. And I went, what? God having some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then he goes into Hebrews 12 and it says, to us, we can learn from Abraham, we can learn from Noah, I mean, we can learn great things, but they're not our pattern. It says for us, looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the firstborn of our species. Yes. You want to see how you're supposed to function? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Acts. Yes. Yes. See how... and expect, well, once you get back... Now comes the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, first is living without sin. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how much your flesh says otherwise. I don't care how much preachers say otherwise. I don't care how much the devil says otherwise. There is no power on this earth, if you're born again, that can make you sin. I'm preaching to myself, too. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just a moment. Some of you don't know this. When I got to town, the devil... You drive 1,400 miles to come down here and preach, and the devil tries to steal your voice. Yeah. That first night when I got here, we was talking. I was preaching Jesus like this. Jesus is Lord. You should pray in tongues. That's squeaking. You know, it's like a little squeaky voice. So they agreed in prayer with me, and we've been worship God, and hallelujah, I'm back.
Hallelujah.
Got my voice back. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
All right. But it is possible. Now, does that mean that you never sin? Well, I don't know anybody that hasn't. I try to make it to lunch. You know, I'm talking little things. You know, I mean, whether or not, I don't know, you lose your temper, you guy cuts you off in traffic, and you always say, bless them, Jesus, when they cut you off in traffic. Bless them, Jesus. That's what I always say. Well, thank God for 1 John 1:9. See, the thing of it is, you're not in a religion, you're in a family. My goodness, we got our little Lily, my little Lily cakes. Our little 3-year-old granddaughter, just the apple of her grandpa's eye. Now, I'll tell you what, that little girl, that means she's got Papa, I'm Papa. She's got Papa right where Papa wants him. I'm done. That little girl, at the same time, she'll just lie to Papa. She'll go in there, you know, she'll just, you know, if she wants something, she'll just bop her bubba in the head and take it, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Now, do we say, well, that's it for you? Religion says, that's it for you, we're throwing you away. That's not a way a family works. Your father loves you more than life itself. Did you know that?
Yes.
He loves you. He loves you more than life itself. He's the one that sent his son to die for you. I think this would be a good prayer. I pray it all the time. You knew I was a mess when you saved me. You haven't brought me this far to throw me away now. But what does every parent want from their children? You know they're going to mess up. You know they're going to make mistakes. What do you want from them? Be honest with me. Tell the truth. And let's not do that again. And fellowship is restored and the family's restored. See? So the power, what I'm trying to say though, that the power of the new nature alone, what He gave you when He regenerated your spirit, each and every one of us, we have the power to live above sin. Now, you've got to believe that. Yes. Yes, sir. This is what faith is. Faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The only reason you're born again is somebody, some way, somehow, you heard the message of Jesus. You heard the message of salvation. Faith came to you by hearing what God said. Well, this week, faith is coming to you by hearing what God says. And you may have said, I'm weak, I'm powerless, I can't walk above sin. I know how I am, I know. That's not what God says.
That's right.
And I don't care if He asked, you know, if He told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, you reckon God's got that much forgiveness for you? He's saying, start agreeing with me. Say what I say. Start, let faith come into you. You play that tape again. Play that MP3 again. Play it again. Get my word on the inside of you. You're a child of light. I'm training you how to walk as a child of light.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now comes the baptism in the Holy Ghost, see. Now, the reason that the Apocrypha, many of you may or may not know what that is. That's a bunch of books that for a while, and they're still in the Catholic Bible, I believe. And there's all kinds of things in there that just aren't so. That's why it wasn't incorporated into the King James Bible. Some of the things that are in there says things like this. Oh, Jesus, you know, when he was a little boy, a bird died in front of him, and he picked up the little bird, and he put it in his hands, and he prayed, and the bird came back to life, and it flew away. That's in the Apocrypha. That's not true. You know it's not true, because turning the water into wine, it says, this is the beginning of miracles.
Right.
Now notice, Jesus, even though He had the power to walk above sin, He did never do one miracle until He Himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost.
See, that's the new nature gives you the power to walk above sin. Romans 8:26 will tell you, but that's the Holy Spirit. See, so the new nature has given you that power, but it says the Holy Spirit also. He also helps us against our infirmities. I mean, that Holy Spirit, when you receive Him, power comes to assist you also in your walk above sin. But now, if you start listening to the Holy Spirit, you start letting Him train you, that's when your adventure begins. See, I want to talk to you young people about adventure. I don't want to talk to you about, well, church, I do, I guess. I'm not interested in a church that doesn't bring life. Sue and I have never had so much adventure as serving God. You want a life of excitement? We just, a weekend or two ago, we had the privilege of entertaining a lady from Australia who's 59 years old now. Get this, 59 years old. Lives in Australia, got a ministry in Haiti. Okay. What she does, at her own expense, she has, about 3 years ago, she asked for permission to translate some of our materials, and specifically the boot camp series, into Creole, because that's what they speak there. So sure, you know, we give permission. Now they have to change it a little bit. People there don't have donkeys. Excuse me. They don't have automobiles. They have donkeys. So instead of saying, "I thank you, God, my automobile is blessed," now they say, "I thank you that my donkey is blessed." You can change it like that, but don't change the essence of it, okay? Now she's 59 years old. You know what she does? Flies there on her own dime, on her own expense, gets in a vehicle and travels for hours to the foot of the mountain. That's as far as you can go. Now that's where the generator is, so you get your laptop and your cell phone and everything you have all charged up while you're at the foot of the mountain. Then you get on a donkey, and you ride for 6 hours. Everyone say 6 hours.
6 hours.
At 59 years old, 6 hours up into the mountains to teach these young people who were raised in voodoo and teach them about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Using the boot camp. We read stuff like that. We taught that boot camp series in our living room. That was one of the assignments that we got from the Holy Ghost. And I got to be honest with you, at the time it was difficult for us. We had no money at all. It seems like our house, every Thursday, which was the day we did the Bible study, seemed like every devil in Tulsa camped in our living room on Thursday. I mean, we normally get along just fine. Thursdays during the day, we're just trying to stay married so we can teach them about love that night. Finances were staying away in great abundance, I'm telling you. So on the outside, I'm preaching, God is a God of abundance. He answers before you call. And on the inside, I'm going, God, don't let them shut off the electricity till after everybody goes, you know. Adventure. It's, you know, at the time you think, it's scary. Well, adventure's always scary. But now we look at the fruit, what He's done with that. He's still using that around the world. There's another place we found out in the Philippines, and I couldn't even tell you about all the prisons that are using that boot camp series to teach new converts in the prisons. We found out this one in the Philippines. That we have a lady at the prayer center who's from there, and she has relatives there, and she goes back to visit. Well, she discovered this little church way back in the jungles. They're still using cassette tapes, people. Does that tell you how far back there they are? And it's a very soul-winning church. So they'll fill up, they get 25 born again, then they have a class. You know what they're using to teach them? The boot camp series. Adventures in God. How did that happen? Listening, learning to listen to the Holy Ghost. Now go over to Hebrews 12. We're going to go there for a little bit. I didn't even notice what time I started, so you're in trouble. That's all I can tell you. School's still in session, isn't it? Okay. Hallelujah. I say Hebrews 11 used to be my favorite chapter, and I still one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But now Hebrews 12, by far, has superseded Hebrews 11. Because Hebrews 12 is talking directly to me. See, I'm born again. Love Jesus, can you tell?
Yes.
You know, we want to serve Jesus more and more. God gave us not only a book, see, He gave us a teacher. And that teacher is the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I mean, you know, he said to the 12, I'm leaving. They're going, what? You're leaving? We left everything to follow you, Jesus. What do you mean you're leaving? But then he starts introducing. He says, I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send you another comforter. And he says, this one will never leave you. He will never leave you, see. The Holy Spirit. And if he's another comforter like Jesus, then he's going to bring you the will of the Father. He's going to teach you. He's going to help you, just like he did all the 12 the whole time. So, in our generation, yes, sir, I'm going to say, I said it this morning, I'm going to go ahead and say it again tonight. The Holy Spirit one time told me, he said, the sin of the religious people in Jesus' day on earth, the sin of the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those, they rejected the Son who had come to reveal the Father. The sin of the present day church that we live in, at large, is they have rejected the Holy Spirit who has come to reveal the Son. And see, really, his job, Jesus said, he will take of mine and he will show it unto you. What he's really talking about is revealing Christ in you. Christ in you, our hope of glory. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. But we've rejected the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's been sent to teach us and bring all of that to maturity. We don't even know how to activate his teaching ministry. So we just continue one generation powerless, next generation powerless. Love God. Listen to services telling you you can't stop sinning. Do your best till you die. Next generation. How many of you think this generation ought to bring an end to that? I think you people might as well be the ones to stop that. Well, look what it says here about the Holy Spirit. Now, this in the King James, it uses some words that are hard for us. You look these up for yourself in the Strong's and you'll find out I've done my homework. Now, this sounds terrible when you read this. If you endure chastening and all of that now. Let's start here in verse 5. Hebrews 12:5. He says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastiseth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now notice, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He is the Father of your spirit. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, why does he do it? For our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Trust me when I say this did not used to be my favorite passage. Scourging and chastening. Till one day I was doing my homework, I was just looking up the Greek definitions. Where it says there, the chastening, if you look that word up, the primary first meaning of the word is not what you think it is. It's not like spanking. It's tutoring. T-U-T-O-R. That is the first and primary meaning in Strong's. To tutor. And all of a sudden, one day, that word went off on the inside of me. See, tonight I'm a teacher. We've got many students, not counting the ones that will hear this by way of the internet. We've got many students and one person doing the teaching. Well, that's the Holy Spirit's like that. He's a teacher. But he's also a tutor. Now, what's the difference between a tutor? Well, you know what a tutor is. If your child is having trouble with math or English, what do? You hire a personal tutor. And that tutor will come, and it doesn't matter what the difficulty is with your child. It doesn't matter. Maybe they have this learning disability or that learning disability. The job of that tutor is as if there's no other children in the world, that tutor's job is to give its full attention and all of its expertise, no matter the difficulties, to your child until your child gets past those problems. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit is to you? That's why it says we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what's wrong with us. Why do I keep falling to that same thing? Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep telling that lie? Or why do I keep grabbing that shiny thing? What is it? I don't know why I keep doing it. What? He does. See, when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, I can't improve on how Pastor Dave does it. See, the Holy Ghost is not just your teacher. He is your tutor. I'm going to go one step beyond that. He's your trainer. He's your trainer also. We'll talk about that in a minute. When you start... Yes, sir. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. I know you know this already. But like Peter said, it's good... While I'm in this body, it's good to put your remembrance of these things. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. 2 Corinthians will not work. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, first of all, you can use this verse to prove that there are diversities of tongues. You remember over in 1 Corinthians 12 it talks about diversities? There are four diversities of tongues. See, in Acts chapter 2, the first time anybody ever got filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues, what happened? Well, the men that had come, they were there for a festival, so there were, Homer could tell you better than me, there were Parthians and Medes and Persians and I don't know who all, they all spoke different languages. But all of a sudden, they're hearing these men. To the men, they're speaking in tongues. I mean, the ones who are doing it. But the other ones, they're hearing them speak in their known language. Well, that's a tongue intended for men to understand. But this kind of tongue, whatever this one is he's talking about here and what it is, it's the prayer of edification. This is the one he gives you for your private tutoring sessions. This is for your time with the Holy Ghost. Notice what's going on. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, first off, in this one, you're not speaking to men. Nobody else is going to understand it. But you're speaking to who? You're speaking directly to God. So we know it's you. You and God are having a conversation. Now let's see what's going on. No man understands it. Now how be it? In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay, now, you're talking to God. Other men aren't, they're not able to understand it. You and God are talking. And we know mysteries are being communicated, right? All right, now here's the way Pastor Dave does it. Now think about it for a minute. You and God are talking. Mysteries are being explained. How many of you think you are explaining mysteries to God? No. He is explaining mysteries to you. See, now you're going, this is the genius of praying in other tongues. This is a master stroke of God. But we don't know what's wrong with us. We don't know what to pray. You don't know what you're at this stage, most of you probably don't know what your calling is. Worse than that, you don't know why you keep doing certain things, and you don't even want to do those anymore. This is a part of how the Holy Spirit comes to help us against those infirmities, those weaknesses. So you start praying in other tongues. You're praying. And you can read further down here. It says, verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, at that moment, it bypasses the intellect. You don't have to know what's wrong with you. He knows what's wrong with you. And He'll make intercession. He's praying the prayer that you would pray if you knew what it was. But you don't know what it is. So He'll bypass the intellect and what's happening, boy. You know, and that's why your soul gets so bored. Your understanding, it don't know what's going on. I remember when I first started praying in other tongues, you know, it sounds so easy. I'm going to pray for 2 hours in other tongues. Michael Muccio said, you got to come to my house and pray 2 hours in other tongues. Sure, that'll be easy. Oh my God. Got over there, start praying, you know. Michael Muccio was the guy that led me to the Lord, you know, on Thursday nights I wanted to go with him to the prisons. And Michael says, well, if you want to go on Thursday nights to the prisons, you got to come Tuesday night and pray in other tongues for 2 hours. Okay, sure. It's easy. Get over there. Michael, me, and about two other people. I didn't bring my Bible, didn't bring nothing to read or anything. My soul doesn't know what's being communicated. On the inside, I'm thinking, okay, surely an hour's gone by. 5 minutes. Oh my God! Thought I was going to die. You know,
Your soul is just, it's unfruitful at that moment. The communication is between your regenerated spirit. Again, it was when you can't improve on something, you just steal Dave's stuff. So he says, what's happening right then? Your spirit has come and sat down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. And that finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Spirit Himself. And He has become your personal tutor. And who He's communicating with first is not your understanding, not this. He's bypassing that. He's talking directly to your spirit. And boy, I mean, these mysteries are being explained. And what really happens, you know, that's why it's so boring to your mind. I had to learn to read my Bible. It'll occupy your mind while I'm praying in other tongues. That's one of the best things you can train yourself to do. You know, just learn to do that. That gives you... And now you're feeding God's Word into your mind, and at the same time you're praying the understanding. That's really a good 1-2 punch. You want to kick in a little fasting? I mean, Sue and I fasted for a whole hour from Ocala down here. I'm telling you. Did we make it an hour? I think we made it an hour. Time out. See, I thought I had the handle on that fasting thing. I thought it was... I mean, I could finish. I was the best faster in the church. I don't know if did I ever tell you about that. I hate to brag. You know. Did you know I could finish a 40-day fast by lunchtime? It says fast, doesn't it? It's quick. I could finish it quick. The rest of them, I don't know what they're doing. I'm done. I had to be more excellently taught by the Holy Ghost. He had to come and anyway. Okay, little. Fast, it's quick. I'm good, man. All right, so here's what happens. You've come now. You're going to set yourself down in the classroom. The tutor has come. The Holy Spirit has come. You don't know what's wrong with you. Shandalabrato, you start just turning yourself over. And it's good to occupy your mind with the Word of God, but if you just pray. Now, what will start happening? It's very much like this. It's like, in that process, it's like the Holy Spirit, He brings this flashlight with Him. And He starts opening up the doors in the attic, in your mind. And He starts looking for dirt. See, people say, oh man, I heard that message that Homer teaches and Bronk teaches. I've started going to that church and started praying. I thought, he says, you know what? After about 2 weeks of praying, I felt worse than when I started. You know what that tells us? It's working. It's working. Because what happens, you don't know what's wrong with you. The Holy Spirit, He goes in there, He starts shining. Man, all of a sudden you start, ew. He starts revealing those mysteries. See, now, time out again. Do you know the rest of us have a pretty good idea what's wrong with you? Those that hang around me, they probably have a better idea what's wrong with me than I do, you know? But we can't tell you because it either hurts you or make you mad, and either way, you'd leave the church. That's why we just gently try and get you back in prayer, because you have to let the Holy Spirit. I'd be glad when the church quits trying to fix people and turn them over to the Holy Ghost, because He'll fix you and love you through it. Say, so He'll fix you and love you through it. We don't need any more judges. Okay? We need the Holy Ghost. But anyway, what happens is your tutor has come. You don't know what's wrong with you. So you start praying in those mysteries, and he starts taking that flashlight, and he starts showing. And that's when your understanding starts getting pieces. Because what really happens as your spirit understands these mysteries, and it's not just the mysteries of the Word of God, it's flaws of your character, it's things to do with your calling, you know. Like with me one day, one of the early ones with me, I said it this morning, we'll say it again tonight. Anybody that knew me in those days knows my life was about money before we got saved. I was going to be a millionaire. I mean, I had a money handle sticking out. If the devil wanted to come and turn me in any direction, all you had to do, I mean, you know, just come and, well, we'll give you $50,000 more a year if you'll move to Omaha. I think, baby, we ought to move to Omaha, you know. And, I mean, all you had to do was offer the money, and I'd do it. You know, as long as I wouldn't go to prison for it. And I'd walk that line pretty close. You know? I love money, but not enough to go to prison for it. But I had big old money handles on me, you know. So I start praying in the Holy Ghost, just doing this message. I was still, wasn't in ministry yet, just praying in the trucks. See, praying and praying and praying. And one day I'd been praying for 2 or 3 days, and after a while, I'll tell you what starts happening. You got to have your fix, you know. What I mean is you'll start getting a revelation. You'll start getting a little vision. You start getting some understanding, and it makes you hungry for the next one. Well, I'd already had several, and
And now I'd prayed 2 or 3 days and I hadn't had nothing. You know, I said, God, I said, please, if it's not, you don't have to answer this, but I'm just curious. I've been praying for 2 days. I haven't heard you say nothing. Would you mind telling me what you're doing right now while I'm praying in other tongues? And I didn't really expect such a clear answer, but I heard him back as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. He says, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. And I went, what? You're doing what? And he took me right over there in my memory. Remember when Jesus came in? He says, he inspected the temple. He said, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Remember how he made a whip and he drove them out? And it, can you just see him turning over? It says he overturned their tables. And do you know what happened though? After he drove out the money changers, it says then they bring the lame and the blind and the halt to him in the temple.
Hallelujah.
And he healed them.
God's
not living in temples made out of stones. You are the temple of God. See what he was telling me, I was the temple, and I knew that strong. I knew that my whole life had been about money. And part of what the Holy Spirit was doing as I was letting him shine that flashlight and letting him tutor me, what he was doing was changing all my motivation. Sue can tell you, I can't be motivated by it anymore. It's almost scary how much I can't be. It won't work. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you this one. Because it's good to know how the Holy Spirit works. I was teaching on covetousness about 3 weeks ago at the church out of Colossians chapter 3, where it says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. And it mentions several things, fornication and adultery and something else. And then the last one it says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So I was just teaching on it. And I was just teaching along doing fine. And all of a sudden my mouth kept teaching. And me and the Holy Ghost went off somewhere else. To the point, I had to listen to it later to make sure I didn't really mess up. But somehow I kept teaching. But the Holy Ghost had something to teach me because I made this statement. I said, I told him about what I just told you about driving out the money changers. And I said, now I don't know yet. I don't know if I'm dead to covetousness or not. But I do know it's been greatly diminished in me. Now here's the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. As soon as I said that, I saw this. Just as clear, it's not like an open vision where you fall over in a trance, but in my mind I saw this little flame about like a candle. You know, about 3/4 of an inch high, like a normal candle is. I saw this little flame. Now my mouth is still teaching. And somehow I talked for 30 minutes while I'm watching all this. But I saw this little flame. And I just saw it for a little while and I was wondering, what in the world here? Now remember what I just said. I don't know if I'm dead to covetousness. I just know that it's been greatly diminished. Well, here's this little flame. Watched it for a little while, just flickering like you'd see a candle burning. Then all of a sudden there was a hand holding a gallon can of gasoline. And I watched that for a while. There's the flame, there's the gasoline. Then all of a sudden, that hand dumped that gasoline out on the flame. What do you think happened? Whoosh, you know. And I remembered enough from my engineering training to remember it's not really the liquid that burns, it's the vapor in gasoline. And once you ignite that vapor, I remember from my training, that fire will not stop until every molecule of gasoline is consumed. And as if that wasn't enough, then I saw the vision again. This time it was a split-screen vision. And I saw that same candle on one side, and then I saw a campfire on the other side, like left screen, right screen. And a campfire was pretty good size, about the size that a family of four would make if they went camping out in the woods. You know, pretty good raging little fire there, and a candle on the other side. Then all of a sudden, there's on each side, someone's holding a can of gasoline by each fire. And then, simultaneously, it's turned upside down and the gasoline is poured on the fire. And the results were identical. Didn't matter if it was a raging fire or a little candle. Then I heard the Holy Ghost say, I didn't tell you to wound covetousness. I said, mortify it. Put it to death. He was letting me know I've got a ways to go yet. It may just be a little candle, but a little candle flame is too much.
Yes.
It's too much. And if you here, look at it. You got a Bible? Look in Colossians chapter 3. There it is. Now, how are you going to do that without the help of the Holy Ghost? How are you going to mortify covetousness? Come on. Can the leopard change his spots? This is why God gave you a new nature and then gave you a Holy Ghost to mature that new nature. I know I had Colossians in this Bible. Who took Colossians out of my Bible? Y'all aren't supposed to steal. Oh, there it is. Okay. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. What does mortify mean? I like Dave's definition. He says, if you spend the night in a mortuary being prepared by a mortician, in the morning you will be mortified. And you will not sin anymore. You won't sin anymore. So that's mortify, okay? Now notice what it says. Therefore, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and there it is, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Wounding it is not enough. He says you've got to put it to death. I challenge you to do that without the help of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that can do that. So what does that mean for Gary? It means I've got to go back into the prayer closet myself. Got to spend more time in there myself. Prayer and fasting. Real fasting. Not the quick kind, the real kind. You know, and those things, but God wouldn't tell us to do it if it wasn't possible to do it.
Yes.
See, and I'm telling you right now, people, at the same time that revival is coming, a real revival of miracles and signs and wonders, there is a revival of finances coming also.
Oh, yes.
And God has got to have a people who have literally had covetousness mortified in them.
Yes.
Where they are truly stewards. Everything they have, everything they are belongs to God. And they are His hand in the earth. They're not going to be like Judas who had the bag. See, I mean, this isn't the first time God has needed people to handle the money. He's always needed people to handle the money. But Judas would dip out of the bag, see. That's not who we're looking for. He's looking for people, and He's going to prepare people that's going to handle vast amounts of money for Him. But I mean, they're going to be dead to covetousness to do it. Because when the revival really breaks out, we've had prophecy after prophecy. The Holy Spirit has said, He is going to merge wealth with media. On an average day, I preach, probably right now while you're hearing my voice, and how I'm saying this is not guessing, it's by the statistics from the website. See, I have over 400 messages in audio form at my website. On any given moment, I'm preaching about 500 messages at one time. While you're hearing my voice here, I'm preaching about 400 or 500 more. All around the world at the same time. What would the Apostle Paul think about that? My God, he'd have to get on a... If you want to preach in Rome, you know, you got to get on a ship and go through all storms and all this stuff and everything just to go and preach one message. And here I can be in Immokalee, Florida, preaching here, and at the same moment, my voice is being heard in South Africa, in Poland, in Korea, New Zealand, Australia, all around the world. And that's just the beginning. I mean, when these miracles, signs, and wonders, God is going to do a harvest around the world by merging wealth with media. We need people who have learned how to be tutored by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
People have been purged from the love of money, where covetousness and everything else. See, that's just one thing. There's a lot of things listed there. Mortify. Wounding those things is not enough. That's what he was teaching me. When it says mortify, he means mortify. And I know it can be mortified because I can look unto Jesus, who is the author of my faith. I can look unto Him.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is changing me into that same image.
Yes.
It is possible to walk free from all those things. Whom the Son sets free. Look how He's tying this together. I'm not this smart. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yes.
But we need that help of the Holy Spirit to mortify the things that are still residual in our soul. Hallelujah. So what begins to happen is you begin to pray in other tongues. The Holy Spirit sets you down in the classroom. At first, you start feeling worse. And we are around the prayer center, we go, thank God it's working. We've got to have lunch with this lovely trio right here sitting there. And she was saying, I didn't know about this at first. My husband would go pray in tongues and then he'd come out and be mean to me and the kids. Hey, it's that way with everybody. You know what Rosalie, in the early days, she'd say to Dave after about the third fast, he'd say, I'm going to fast again. She'd go, now, Dave, can you please fast somewhere else?
What's happening? You're being purged. It's, you know, our faith is compared to gold, is it not? Your faith is more precious than gold. When you purify gold, what do? You gotta apply the heat. And what happens? Anything, the dross, anything that's impure, starts coming to the top. And why? So that it can be removed. That is exactly the process that's happening when you're spending time being tutored by the Holy Ghost. Anything that He sees in you, He's shining that light in that attic. And what he does, He starts... First, it's just your spirit understanding, but eventually, your spirit will turn around and start communicating with your mind, and you start seeing it. And you go, I'm not like that, am I? Start asking other people, am I like that? And they're going, oh, God. Yes, you are like that, you know. And then what happens then? You start hating it. You feel worse, and that's a good thing. And finally, you get to the point where you hate it as much as God does. And that's when he says, finally, as long as you love that thing, as long as you loved it, how could I help you get rid of it? But now that you hate it as much as I hate it, the two of us together, we're going to remove that from your life. And you'll never have it again. That's transformation, people. That is the power of the Holy Ghost has come. I thank God for the power of the new nature. Just that power of the new nature alone has given you the power to walk above sin. But boy, the Holy Spirit, anything residual, it's not just fleshly sins, people. When the Bible talks about the flesh, yes, sir, incoming. Galatians 6. Go to Galatians 6. I haven't trained myself all these years to hear him, to not follow him now when he comes. So, I'm sorry, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. This is my first closing. It doesn't mean a whole lot. See, this passage right here in Galatians 5 is the best picture you'll ever see that Paul really painted for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This warfare, you're going to have this warfare till you get a glorified body. Now, the spirit that's in you, you can read it in Ephesians. It says, that new man that God created when you got born again, the real you, at your core. It says that spirit was created, and that means from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. That's the real you. But the problem is, we're also walking with this soul that's been hurt and wounded. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe, no telling what all has happened to you. You know? And so there's hurts and wounds, and you've built fortresses in your mind. We call them strongholds. Nobody's ever going to hurt me again like that. Or, I'm never going to be poor again. You become a hoarder or something, you know? There's all these different strongholds that come. So when the Bible talks about the flesh, it's not just talking about the appetites of this physical body. It's any part of the soul, including the will, the intellect, and the emotions, especially any part of that that's not yet been transformed to the mind of Christ. And here, you can see it real plain here in Galatians 5. He says, this I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Now that should be a little S. If you read this whole chapter, this whole letter, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The war is not between your puny flesh and God the Holy Ghost. If that's the war, your flesh against God the Holy Ghost, that will be the shortest war on history. I'm telling you right now, that is not the war being described here. The war being described is your new nature in a war against your flesh. So he starts telling about these, what the flesh is, and you're going to see it's more than just the physical body. Because watch, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you really ought to just write new nature there. Walk in the new nature. That's a little S. Walk in the new nature, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I wish it said the lust of the flesh would just go away. I'm looking forward to that day when we're going to get a new body. I can't imagine a body that I'll say, let's go sin, and my body says back, no. My body will sin anytime I let it right now. My body thinks the first dozen Krispy Kremes are always good. The first dozen are always good. Now, the second dozen, you might need to slow down a little. I use that because everyone, and I haven't had a crispy, how long has it been? A year, 2 years? I don't know, a long time since I had one. But everyone can relate to that. Now watch, for the flesh, now every time it has this capital spirit S, I'm going to substitute new nature because that's really what it's talking about. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against, you could put wars against the new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you learn to be led by the new nature, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And some of them are very much fleshly sins. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Wait a minute. Hatred? Hatred is listed as a work of the flesh? Huh. Let's see. My left ear is part of my flesh. Do I hate with my left ear? You don't hate with your elbow. Where does hatred come from? That's from the soul. That's from the intellect. That's from the emotions. That's from... I hate them. That's not coming from your physical body. That's what I'm saying. It includes the physical body, the appetites, the highs from drugs and all of those type of things. But it's more than that. It's any part of the soul or the intellect or the emotions that's not yet been transformed to agree with the mind of Christ. That's why it says not only those first things, but hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. This is not a complete list. There's more things than that. Of the which I've told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that should be the fruit of the new nature. Now it is the fruit of the Holy Ghost too. You know why? You got God's nature when you got born again. Did you know at your core, you are love? Well, I sure don't act like it, Brother Gary. I didn't say what you acted like. I said, at your core, the part of you that's been born of God. You know why I know that for sure? And you know why? I know this is not in ascending order. Or let me say it a different way. Love isn't the last thing you get. Love isn't the last fruit you get. It's the first fruit that you get. You know why I know that? Because God is love. Fruit comes where? Does it come on the trunk of the tree? Comes out on the limbs, does it not? The fruit is out on the limbs of the tree. What flows through the trunk? That's the sap. That's the life of the tree. What is God? God is love. So the very first thing that's going to be flowing through that new nature, that you at your core, if it's the nature of God and God is love, I don't care how you acted today, at your core, your first and primary fruit is love. A lot of wives are going, bet me. Husbands may be going, I don't know about that. She threw their vacuum cleaner across the room. But it is. This is where you have to start believing what God said instead of what you see. Instead of what you feel. Instead of what you think about yourself. You know what? Came to me the other day. I never heard it. You know, whenever God speaks to you, you act like you always knew it. He says, my people are overriding the truth with their own version of truth. See, I say, he says, you have the fruit of love. And you say, I can't love. I'm mean. I know how I am. Okay? This is the real you. Your nature is love. Do you know your natural state? I like this one. The next two. Your natural state is joy and peace. Now, Sue and I are ministers, and we've been ministers a long time. I can tell you now, we don't get many phone calls from Christians going, I just had to call you today, Gary and Sue, because I'm just overflowing in too much joy and too much peace. You think that's the calls we get? No, it's not. See, people are about to go crazy over here. I'm worried, and you know, all hell's breaking loose. And I don't know what to. And the truth of the matter is, the real nature that's in you, the ship can be sinking. You'll be like Jesus, asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. You get up, they hand you an oar and a bucket to bail the ship out with, and you just put those down and say, "I'll just speak to it. Peace, be still." That's who you really are.
Yes.
That's who you really are.
Yes.
See? The fruit of the new nature is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Homer will, he'll like this because I did an intensive study in the Greek on that word, long-suffering. I went to the Greek of the Greek
Then I went to the classical Greek, and then the Koine, and how they used it. And I went to all. And when I got all through, I found out that what long suffering means. Are you ready for this? Get ready. You ought to write this down. Long suffering means to suffer long. Okay. Put up with them. Plain English, put up with them. Yeah, so it makes you suffer a long time. What do you think God's been doing with you? Long suffering. Long suffering. I smoked for 42 years, 3 days and 9 months or something. I mean, it seemed like forever. And I tried everything in the world trying to get free. I mean, when the nicotine gum came out, I got the nicotine gum, and patches come out. I got the patches. One time, Sue and I, we were on a trip, and I had a patch on each arm, had two pieces of nicotine gum, and I had to pull over for a smoke break. I mean, I tried to quit, and God was so long-suffering with us and merciful to us, and He used us. He healed cancer through our nicotine-stained fingers. Can you believe that? I mean, the Pentecostals will faint dead right there. You just tell them that story, and they'll just fall over and faint. He did, though. He did. Long suffering. And you know what? He finally got us past that one too. Long suffering. Can we be that way with each other, please?
Yes.
Long suffering.
Hallelujah.
Gentleness. Goodness. I love this one. Faith. I did another study on that one. It's the Greek word P-I-S-T-I-S. It's the primary word for faith. Do you know it's... Let me say it. People say, oh, I have such a hard time believing God. That's not the truth. That's your version of truth. Your natural state. See, what is faith? Faith believes what your father says. You're a child. You're his child. Of course you believe what your father says. He says, you know, all things are possible. You go, okay. Sure. You wouldn't lie to me. Meekness. There's a lot of things you could say about meekness. Moses was the meekest man on planet Earth at one point. But the primary function of meekness is you stay teachable. You stay teachable. You don't ever start getting lifted up in pride. You're teachable. Temperance, and that's self-control. Do you notice it's the last one? Do you notice usually the church, they'll judge you for the last one? They put the last one first. You having trouble with some kind of self-control? How about you just keep praying in the Holy Ghost? Let that fruit come to maturity, because eventually, what you think Jesus was self-controlled? You think He had control? He is the very one that the Holy Spirit is conforming you to. We finished this morning on this verse. We're going to finish tonight on this verse. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. The purpose of God, His plan, is to take all of these children of Adam, the whole species of Adam that He judged dead in Christ on the cross. And as far as God, I mean, Jesus didn't die for His own sins. Legally, who was on that cross? Legally, it was Adam. The whole species of Adam, past, present, and future. That's why God could then, once Adam is legally dead, God can pass the baton of authority to the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. That had to happen. But God's purpose now is from that sea of dead humanity. He's looking at this one and He's looking at that one. And He's quickening them to new life. And from that dead species, He is raising up a new species. What the Bible says is a new creature that never existed before. And these, He's quickening them to new life. And His plan is that they be conformed to the image of His Son. That we walk like Him, we think like Him, we talk like Him. And when you get anointed by the Holy Ghost, you have the same results that He had. And you can see it right here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Right there. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that means a mirror. Beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. Not something diminished. Not something way down on the scale. Doesn't your Bible say the same image?
Yes.
Changed. That's why it says, 1 John, he wrote it this way. He says, as He is, so are we in this world. And He means none diminished. Think like Him. Have the same heart motivations as Him. Talk like Him. Walk like Him. And have the same results that He had. That's God's plan. That's His purpose.
And He's raising up a species, a new generation. These are all people spawned by the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same way that you received that death nature from the first man, Adam, you have received a righteous nature from the last man, Adam. And the Holy Spirit is here to bring that to maturity. And one of the ways you have to do it, though, is quit substituting your truth for His. You say, well, you're righteous. Oh, I know what I am. I know what I am. I'm not righteous. See, look at this. Look how you do it. You have to behold as in a mirror. You're looking in a mirror. And you see Jesus. You see the glory of the Lord. And you go, that's not me. You say, yes, it is. The part of you that's of God, the part of you that I created, He said, that's what you look like. And that, as I behold the glory of the Lord in a mirror, I am changed into that same image. Now, it's not overnight. Notice, it's from glory to glory. It's progressive. The type and shadow there is the Old Testament when they were going to take the land. They said, we'll give it all in one day. He says, no. Stronghold by stronghold. City by city. You possess. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's how He does it. Stronghold. You pray in tongues. He shines that flashlight. He's your tutor. Stronghold by stronghold. One thing at a time.
Hallelujah.
You'll conquer that. You go into the next city, you conquer that one. You go into the next stronghold, you conquer that one. And by that process, you are changed into that same image.
Hallelujah.
Even as by the glory of the Lord. Is that good stuff or what? Well, who's... It's His plan. I wish I'd have come up with it, but it's His plan. And He did it by sending the tutor, the Holy Spirit. And I thank God again for the day that we... I feel blessed of all humans. I feel I've got to be His favorite. I have to be. That He led us to ever hear these truths. Dave Roberson's just a man, but I thank God. He's one of my fathers. I thank God that He prayed this into the earth. The revelation of it again has been laid out. And if you don't have His book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, you ought to get it. It'll save you years. Why pray out all those same revelations that He's already prayed out? You can just receive them. I remember... You know what? One minister says, you know, every generation shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel. We need to stand on the shoulders of the ministers that have come before us. And we should receive what they've already, you know, passed on to us. And then we should go further than they ever went.
Hallelujah.
Did you get anything out of that tonight? How many of you are going to pray a little bit more? Let the Holy Ghost be your tutor. Let Him change you into that same image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.